This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Tonight, an entire town up in flames, wiped out as ferocious wildfires tear through California. Homes, stores, and gas stations all burned to the ground. History erased. And buildings that stood in the state's gold country for more than a century gone in a matter of hours.
There is destruction everywhere you look.
Also tonight, is this the next COVID super spreader? We're in Sturgis, South Dakota, where hundreds of thousands of bikers will rally. Why one hospital is stocking up on ventilators. Plus, important news for anyone who's had the Moderna vaccine. Charging ahead, the president pushes car makers to go electric and the new rules that may affect the next car you buy.
It's electric. There's no turning back.
Raid gone wrong. A Chicago family sues police after officers kick in their door and hold them at gunpoint, even two young girls.
So what did you do when you saw the gun?
I was crying.
Olympic homecoming. Fans celebrate a triumphant stateside return for Team USA. And the 10-year-old who proves kindness is contagious.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. Nora is off tonight. I'm Bill Whitaker. We're going to begin tonight in the West, which is getting ravaged by nearly 100 wildfires. Overnight, the largest one in California all but destroyed Greenville, an historic gold rush town. Buildings that had stood since the 1800s were leveled in hours, leaving an apocalyptic scene. In just 3 weeks, the so-called Dixie Fire has burned more than 500 square miles, an area larger than the city of Los Angeles. More than 25,000 residents are under evacuation orders. Many of the western fires can be seen from space, whipped up by hot, dry winds. 20,000 firefighters and support crews are battling the flames. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Greenville tonight. Jonathan, how widespread is the destruction?
Bill, what you see here extends for nearly a mile in every direction. We are here on what is left of Main Street. That used to be the main intersection. That was a century-old hotel. Easily more than 100 buildings were destroyed by this fire. And when you look here this afternoon, it's as if several bombs exploded here overnight.
It came in like a tornado. This raging wildfire tore through this mining town, engulfing everything in its path, turning it into a hellscape. Flames were swirling around cars and this temple, incinerating them all.
We lost Greenville tonight.
These are images of the downtown before the carnage. Historic Main Street now reduced to rubble. Homes, stores, and businesses charred beyond recognition. The Dixie Fire is on the move. It's now covering more than 300,000 acres. It's California's largest wildfire this year.
It's okay once you get past that.
Firefighters struggled to drive through the smoke. This massive fire started last month, but exploded this week, fueled by high temperatures, low humidity, and strong winds.
The most difficult part, I guess, is just not knowing what's happening and where it's at. It's just, you know, it just explodes so fast. You just don't have time to react with anything.
More than 3 hours away, people on the California-Nevada border fled the river fire that created fireballs like this one.
Shaking like a leaf, but it's okay. I've got my family together, and that's what's important.
Heavy smoke clouds still fill the air here in this gold rush town of Greenville. We found Fire Chief Sergio Mora surveying the damage.
It's devastating. It's hard to put into words other than it's difficult.
Mora was there to provide safety to his fellow firefighters as they battled the flames, his 23rd day on the job. This was Mora as the fire engulfed the town. One of the last things he did was close the doors to the fire station.
I hope I never have to see this again. The post office is gone, the bank's gone, their library, their fire station, a couple churches, a lot of people's homes, their livelihood.
All too quickly, this fire erased a part of California's history that can never be restored.
And at this hour, it's still unclear if everyone escaped this fire alive. The red flag warnings continue through this evening. We're expecting wind gusts up to 35 miles per hour, and already there's been a flurry of mandatory evacuations issued in the last hour. Bill.
Thank you, Jonathan. That is a beautiful, deeply forested part of California. So tragic. Tonight, there's news about one of the COVID vaccines. Moderna says its shots remain effective at least 6 months after the second dose, though it expects booster shots will be needed this winter. Vaccinations are up this week, but so are new COVID cases. And there's concern about a potential super spreader event in South Dakota. CBS's Mola Lenghi is there.
More than 500,000 bikers are expected to ride into the small town of Sturgis, South Dakota over the next 10 days as the Delta variant rips through the nation. Besides the bikes and beers, most are here for something many Americans can probably relate.
Tired of living and staying at home, and we're ready to go out and do stuff for them.
Tired of living in fear.
Mark and Jackie Bogue of Iowa may find exactly what they're looking for here. No mask requirements, no vaccination requirements, hardly any signs that the country is still battling a pandemic.
They are coming from pretty much every state in the nation, and this virus does not discriminate. So you're setting the stage for something like a super spreader event.
Dr. Shankar Kura's hospital in Rapid City is gearing up. For him, it's deja vu. Last year's rally resulted in widespread transmission, with at least 463 confirmed cases linked directly to Sturgis and nearly 200 secondary infections all across the United States. More recently, the big celebrations in downtown Milwaukee last month are likely linked to nearly 500 COVID cases in Wisconsin. In just the last month, COVID cases have soared from an average of 15,000 a day to nearly 90,000 a day. And hospitalizations have soared more than 40% in a week. In Mississippi, there are now only 8 ICU beds available in the entire state.
The ultimate end game of all this is vaccination. If we do that, we will turn the Delta surge around.
Sturgis, there are also financial considerations. Rod Bradley owns a local bar and a hotel.
Whether it's the sales tax revenue or the property tax from the buildings that are in town to handle the rally, it makes a big impact on the community as a whole.
That's by far the rally's reward. There's also the risk.
The 2 weeks after the rally is our challenge now, because that's when we're anticipating a rise in cases of COVID.
Well, vaccinations have largely been a success story here. South Dakota, right around the national average. And Monument Health, the only hospital system serving the entire western half of the state, has 13 COVID patients right now. That may seem like a low number, Bill, but 2 weeks ago, they were down to just 3.
Mola Lenghi in Sturgis, South Dakota. Tonight, President Biden is hoping to jumpstart the switch to electric vehicles. His new executive order sets an ambitious goal. Half of all vehicles sold should be electric by 2030. And his administration wants to cut emissions from cars that run on gas. We'll get more now from CBS's Ben Tracy.
President Biden took a drive in an electric Jeep Wrangler after signing his executive order.
It's electric, and there's no turning back. But we just have to move, and we have to move fast.
But accelerating the transition to EVs may not be so quick. Americans still love their gas guzzlers. Trucks, vans, and SUVs make up 3/4 of new sales so far this year. EVs are just 2%.
Is it possible to get to 50% by the end of the decade?
It is.
Michael Regan is the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Today, it proposed stricter new emission standards for cars and trucks designed to force automakers to build and sell more electric cars.
We're ushering in new advanced technologies that will not only increase and enhance performance, but also reduce climate pollutants and health-based pollutants.
In the United States, transportation is the single largest source of planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions. EPA claims the new clean car standards would avoid 2.2 billion tons of carbon emissions from vehicles by 2050. But with the impacts of climate change piling up, environmental groups pressured the administration to go even further. The new tailpipe regulations start off about 10% stricter than what the Trump administration had in place, but barely meet the pollution standards President Obama negotiated back in 2012.
I think the administration can be bolder.
Catherine Garcia is with the Sierra Club.
The planet is really demanding that we take the climate crisis seriously and reduce pollution as quickly as possible.
And Ben joins us now. Ben, leaders from the big three automakers were at the White House today. Are they committing to this goal of 50% electric vehicle sales by 2030?
No, not really. They're saying it's their aspiration that they'll get somewhere between 40 and 50% by 2030. But they say the federal government needs to provide tax incentives so people will buy these vehicles and also build out charging stations across the country. Bill.
Thank you, Ben. Tonight, a Chicago family is suing the city and the police department after officers raided their home by mistake and held them at gunpoint. Dave Savini of our CBS station WBBM broke the story.
Chicago police officers responded to a 911 call in August 2019 about two men fighting at a nearby gas station, one of them possibly armed. When police arrived, four men ran. Officers entered this apartment building, but there's no public evidence suggesting this is where the suspects went. Officers headed to the third floor, where they kicked down the door belonging to Regina Evans and Stephen Winters. A lawsuit filed by the couple Tuesday alleges the officers forcibly entered their home without announcing themselves as police. Body cam video shows them holding Winters down as the officers check the apartment. The lawsuit alleges an officer had a gun to Winter's head.
Officer with the gun to my head, I thought it was kind of over.
In one room, they woke up a 73-year-old grandfather at gunpoint. And in another, they find the couple's children, 5-year-old Rashila and 9-year-old Savela. They were in their beds when they say an officer entered their room and pointed a gun at them.
So what did you do when you saw the gun?
I was crying.
I called the police, too.
You called the police on the police?
Yes.
I need more police to call.
I called the police on the police because I don't know what's going on. You in my house. You won't tell me anything.
The family can be heard repeatedly telling police the suspects never entered their unit. Officers later apologized.
They thought they were doing a good thing chasing some guy with a gun up here.
In a statement, a CPD spokesperson said the apprehension of fleeing suspects are often active in fluid situations in which officers are balancing public safety and the safety of all individuals involved.
Trauma, heartache, they left a lot of baggage behind.
The Civilian Office of Police Accountability tells us they are now conducting a preliminary investigation into this case, Bill.
Dave Savini from our Chicago station. Thank you. Tonight, there's new evidence the economic recovery is uneven at best. 385,000 Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week. Millions more will see their extended pandemic benefits run out by Labor Day. CBS's Mark Strassman has one family's struggle.
What if we have to be homeless? What are we going to do with the kids?
Aaron White's family of six had a lifeline. Iowa cut it.
There's daily breakdowns. It's not every once in a while.
At 38, her health has broken down. Severe asthma, pulmonary hypertension, and unidentified autoimmune disorder. She and her husband John worked at a call center. Combined income, $60,000. In April, they both quit to protect her. Getting the COVID vaccine was too risky for her compromised immune system, but so was walking into work every day.
It was a very hard thing to accept that that wasn't my job anymore and that this was my new reality.
In working class Keokuk, Iowa, the unemployment rate almost 7% higher than the statewide average. On June 12th, Governor Kim Reynolds cut off Washington's federal pandemic relief for the state's jobless. The message to nearly 25,000 Iowans, go find a job.
And the money went away quick, and we started to get the taste of losing everything then.
The repo man came for their van. They're 3 months behind on rent.
We're losing everything. We're failing. I want to help my family. There's a lot of us, and it takes a lot of money. You know, and I want to be able to help them, and I feel like I can't. I don't have that control.
Across the Mississippi, the whites can see Illinois.
Their governor still allows them to have the pandemic benefits.
Lost in our recovering economy, millions of Americans still need help. Mark Strassman, CBS News.
26 states have ended most of that extra federal unemployment assistance. One of America's most powerful labor leaders, Richard Trumka, died today of an apparent heart attack. A former coal miner, Trumka served more than a decade as the president of the AFL-CIO, which has more than 12.5 million members. President Biden called him a close friend. Richard Trumka was 72.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
The U.S. keeps adding to its lead in the medal count at the Olympics with 91. China is second with 74. One of those medals went to the U.S. women's soccer team, while the women's gymnastics team is returning home to a hero's welcome. CBS's Jamie Yukis reports from Tokyo.
The U.S. women's soccer team beat Australia for the bronze. Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd were looking for redemption after losing to Canada in the semifinal.
I think it was important for everybody to hear that this third place game that we're fighting for is just as important if we were in a gold medal match. And the way you saw us come out and play, that was the U.S. mentality.
Brianna Scurry won gold with Team USA in 1996 and 2004.
USA's ability to rebound from the big loss against Canada and win the bronze says a lot about their character.
Ryan Krauser won gold in shot put as his family cheered back home in Oregon. He dedicated the win to his grandfather, who died shortly before the Tokyo Games, and introduced him to the sport. And USA gymnasts returned home to cheers. Simone Biles landed in Houston and was reunited with her family and beloved dog.
U.S. star runner Allyson Felix will run in the 400 meters later today. If she places in the top three, that would mark 10 medals to her name, becoming the most decorated female track and field athlete ever to participate in the Olympic Games. Bill.
Jamie Yukis in Tokyo. If you don't think one person can make a big difference, we know a young man who might just change your mind. CBS's Janet Shamlian introduces us.
Getting books into the hands of children.
Fresh shipments.
Hundreds of titles given away at this Fort Worth Book Fair.
Well, we just got a generous donation of books.
By a child himself.
I want to be able to share my love of literacy with as many people as possible.
This is Orion Jean. He's 10, but the number on his mind is 500,000. The number of books he's hoping to get donated to children in need.
Even just for a moment, to go into a new story or a new world and go to places and meet people they never would have.
Kindness is a virtue we can all possess, if we are willing to. So why not start today? Because right now, it's what we need more than ever.
That speech won Orion a 2020 Student Kindness Contest, inspiring his own personal campaign of compassion.
The speech contest was really just the catalyst to something so much bigger.
With 120,000 books collected so far, Orion is asking people across the country to give away their used books to hit his goal.
They can give that book away to another child who may need it, and it causes a ripple effect, and that's what it's all about.
Deep thoughts from a boy who has yet to start the sixth grade. Janet Shamley in CBS News, Fort Worth.
What a remarkable young man doing remarkable things. One man found a unique way to deal with trespassers. Little did he know his idea would catch on around the country. That's tomorrow when Steve Hartman goes on the road. If you can't watch live, don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. And that's tonight's edition of the CBS Evening News. For Nora O'Donnell, I'm Bill Whitaker. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.